Welcome to Shofar Rondebosch Sermon Podcast. We trust that today's message will edify and strengthen your faith.
Matthew, in his quest to make me feel less nervous, he's just going to say amen at all the... This is usually the part where the pastor thanks the band, but that would just feel awkward. Also, I think Megan meant the visitors cards, not credit cards. The first time visitors. I had to throw that one in there. See, I'm just cracking all these lame jokes because I'm super nervous. Can I pray? Father, thank you so much for allowing us to enter your presence as a group, as an individual. Lord, we recognize you as Lord. We recognize you as King over this congregation. Thank you for the privilege of being able to talk about something that you gave to me, Lord, in this message. I just come and I absolutely just give it back to you. Father, we cannot make your presence happen. The band cannot make anything happen. The sermon cannot make anything happen. Father, you are what gives us substance and what gives us purpose. Thank you so much just for your presence. Please make us conscious of your presence this morning. Amen. So, I was. It was kind of confirmed on Thursday that I was gonna preach a sermon. So I did what any good student would do, and I stole someone else's homework. I found out later. Reino and Liana have shared a bit on this before. And as I worked through some of the scriptures that I thought the Lord gave me, or that I knew the Lord gave me, I realized I was just going to repeat one of Reino's sermons. So, sometimes you would be like, oh, I'm nervous. You know, just now they're like, oh, you know, I just stole someone else's sermon and I'm re-preaching it. But I was excited because I was like, yes, it means that the Lord is taking us in a specific direction. And I can just rest assured that, you know, if it is repetition is what we need to remember things. So, Reino and Liana have brought words that the church will be entering a place of rest. And Boitumelo, you can throw up that slide, the first one. So, the title of my sermon basically is, so it's been incorporated into their sermons. They've been talking about that the church is entering a place of rest. God is bringing us to a place of rest. And Reino has touched on some of the scriptures regarding this. And from day one, I was like, but what does that mean? What does that mean? We're going into a place of rest. So what does that mean?
Napping.
He loves his naps, that's for sure. And it kind of got me thinking, or when Reino asked me to actually preach a sermon this week, like 2 hours afterwards, God was already like, this is what you're talking on. How to operate from a place of rest. And we're going to examine what this rest looks like. You know, Reino, I know some of the scriptures are going to be, as I put together the slides this morning, I was like, oh, it looks exactly like his, like everything he, I remember sitting in the sermon and seeing all these words and seeing all these concepts being laid out. So repetition is good. So without further ado, let's jump into it, into operating from a place of rest. So I believe there are two dynamics to consider. Next slide. The dynamics of God's rest, and this is just a framework, a simple framework that we're going to use when I start diving into specific scriptures. There is something that is that rest that God designated for the individual, and then there's the rest of a church and a community. Now the word brought here that by Reino and Liana and confirmed and all of that is that it's for the church. But we are also individuals in a community. So there are two dynamics because an individual can be at rest, but the church can be in unbalance. Okay? So that's why I'm going to allude to these two or mention these two again at the end after we've covered sort of what does it mean to operate from a place of rest. Also, the reason I distinguish between these two is it's easy for us, especially in sort of our Western culture. We now have the unison of the rival of the East and the West, and now I don't know where we are anymore. We're in Africa, so this is great. We're in the South, and quite often, especially in a city such as Cape Town, we tend to be very, very individualistic. It's a lot of, but for me this works, and for you this may not work. And there is an element of truth to that. But I want to point you back to the reason I'm adding the church and community here is because if you look through the Bible and you look through the actions of God, it was on an individual level, but as important was at a community level. When God judged people, he judged nations. He judged whole families. When God blessed people, he blessed households. He blessed families. He blessed gatherings. He blessed nations. It was, I dare say, and I can't back this up with scripture, but I think it was more as a collective than it was individual. So it's important to remember this, that when we dive into operating at, from a place of rest, we will carry rest as individuals, but more importantly, we will carry or operate from rest as a community. And they look slightly different. The principles are the same, but they look slightly different. So keep this in mind as we continue. Operating from a place of rest. So here is what this does not mean. When you're under stress, when you fear, when you're in anxiety, prolonged negativity. I mean, this is not the type of, oh man, I'm just negative about washing the dishes this morning. This is a prolonged negativity of you're really struggling to get your attitude adjusted for this task you need to do or for what you're responsible for. Bitterness, an unhealthy striving. It's a performance-based striving. Burnout. Restlessness. Or it just feels like you're dragging a dead horse. Right? And dragging a dead horse is almost, I feel like I'm the only one doing this. I feel like I'm the one running with the vision and nobody's with me. Everybody's just kind of logging in the background. When you start feeling like this, it means you're not operating from a place of rest. And often these symptoms arise to, they perpetuate themselves to things of like self-pity, offense, pride. Why am I the only one doing this? So it's important to know that this is what operating from a place of rest does not mean, and this is on a community level as well. Churches that are in that are struggling, that are in decline, there's conflict. There are lots of things that you can mention as symptoms of what it does not mean. It almost feels like I'm about to. Put forward an ad. It's like, you know, do you have stress, fear, anxiety? You know, come to me, ye weary, and I shall give you rest, as in Matthew. And that's actually what God says. You know, come to me, all of you who are weary. This I couldn't resist putting in, just because like that face is, it's. this is more for my own amusement than anything else. But stress, some people just cannot handle this. You know, it's. I hope you can see the face. But I was laughing very hard last night at this when I was just looking at images to include. So that's for free. You don't have, your tithe does not go towards that. So I'd like to start with a scripture, Hebrews 4. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. And then we're going to cover it in bits. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 4. And try to focus. I mean, it's not like you're not focusing, I know that, but I sometimes tend to get lost with, I know I've sat here before and then I'm like, okay, and then my thoughts drift. So I'm just putting this as more of a note to myself than anything else. It would be quite awkward if I started drifting while I'm reading my own scripture. The title of the chapter is The Promise of Rest. And this forms the basis of how we as individuals and we as a community are meant to operate from a place of rest. So I'm going to read the whole chapter in one go, and then I'm going to break it up a little bit, and then we're going to focus on some specific verses within context. But before I actually do this, before I read the chapter, the context of Hebrews and of this chapter, so we don't know who the author is, and it was actually written, scholars believe actually, it was written to Jews in Rome in the time of Nero. It was about the time that Nero started persecuting Christians. And he was ramping up, he wanted to rebuild a really cool Rome, and Christians didn't fit in with that, so they actually started vandalizing homes. This is before they actually started killing off Christians. They started vandalizing them, their homes, breaking windows, scoffing at them on the streets. They were being earmarked. And the Jews in the Roman church at that time, Christianity was not a registered religion, but Judaism was. So Jews at that time were actually considering and were moving back to Judaism as a religion because they could still go back to the synagogue. But in order to go back to Judaism or get into the synagogue, they had to stand in front of the synagogue and deny their faith in Jesus and say, "We do not recognize Jesus." So there's this battle. Imagine you and your family are, you're being singled out. Everybody knows where you live. Your house is being spray painted. They're breaking your windows. I'm pretty sure that your, thoughts in that would be like, okay, well, what are the alternatives? How do I protect my family? How do I protect myself? And this was an option. We could simply go back to the synagogue. Everything would be fine. So the author here is writing to admonish them and to encourage them, listen, Why would you go back to Judaism? Why would you go back to driving a Volkswagen Beetle when you have access to a Porsche? That's essentially what he's doing through the whole book of Hebrews. So he's really encouraging them and giving arguments as to why believing in Jesus as the Messiah and having access to salvation will give them life and will provide them with rest in a time of persecution. And this is the backdrop of this chapter. Okay. Hebrews 4. Therefore, so you don't have to put that up yet. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any one of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, the Jews, the Judaists. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day, saying in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this place, "They shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, it has been said, 'Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that's my sermon done. I read scripture, which they did in synagogues, and I can now go home. And even if everything else I say today was wrong, at least I read the chapter, right? But there are some principles I think I should highlight that the Lord has led me to kind of look at. And let's head to that first bit of scripture. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. That just punched me in the face. Let us fear lest any of you have come short of it. As a community, if not even a few of us are operating from a place of rest, we are in imbalance. Let us fear lest any of you come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us, to well as to them, the guys that were reverting back to Judaism, or the people that were still in involved in Judaism. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And this brings me to Louis' top tip number one for operating from a place of rest. It's done out of a place of faith.
Amen.
Thanks, Matthew. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And faith for me, by implication, also means surrender. If you go and look at all the champions of faith that are mentioned later in the book, yes, I almost read the whole book because it was a bit of a rabbit hole for me, actually. In Hebrews 11, the author mentions, Noah, Moses, Abraham. And I think Abraham's faith to father, nations as numerous, or children as numerous as the stars. But the first thing that God says, go and sacrifice your son. And if that is not surrender by implication, I don't know what is. So if you're not operating, or if you are, if you're not operating from a place of rest, chances are that you have something that you have not surrendered in faith. If you have fear, anxiety, all these things, chances are that you are not operating from a place of faith and from a place of surrender. So that's the first thing that really stood out to me. An interesting thing, if we let's head on to the next bit. For we who have believed, do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Referring to some references being made in the previous chapter, chapter 3. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not rest. Now this was a bit odd for me. I was like, okay, so we are now, faith, and now suddenly we're on Sabbath, and now, this kind of is just, it feels random. And then I read I've kind of reading a book called Unlocking the Bible by David Pawson from Morningstar Ministries, and he made an interesting reference here. I wanted to see what he said. And he says that some scholars believe that when God rested on the seventh day, the mention of it in Genesis 2, there is no mention of morning and evening. Now, I still don't believe that the other part of it, that people are like, okay, so these days of creation weren't literal days. But they do attach significance to the fact that there wasn't mention of morning and evening. It just simply refers to, and God was at peace with himself. And then Genesis continues from there. And this is interesting for me, because when we rest, we are at peace with God. Whether we are still struggling with surrender, whether we are still, you know, we're not quite understanding what God's word says, if we are at peace with God, the moment we surrender, the moment we understand how to operate from a place of faith in this area of my life, finances, a loved one not getting saved, you know, we can probably go through a whole list of things. Studies. I mean, I was a student for 7 years, and I still have nightmares about some exams. That was not operating from, well, that was probably self-inflicted, because I you know, the studies kind of just happened the night before. But these things, financing your studies, if you're struggling with God in that, if there's a fear with regards to that and it's not surrendered, you're not operating from a place of rest, because you are not at peace with God. God was at peace with himself, by implication. But I just found that was quite interesting. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it. And that I didn't put that there. That was actually highlighted in the New King James Version. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Louis's top tip for operating from a place of rest, number two. Operating from a place of rest is done through obedience. When there is obedience, you are in line with God's will, you are in line with most likely the prophetic calling of God's prophetic calling on your life. At whatever stage in your life, if you're operating out of obedience, you will be operating from a place of rest. But now I'm thinking, the church here, their houses are being vandalized. People are verbally abusing them likely. That really doesn't seem restful to me. And there's a distinction then here, is they were able to endure. I mean, Paul never appeared to be at rest to me. I mean, there was this one time when he was ministering, and then they stoned him. Left him for dead. He gets up, probably limps to the next town and starts preaching again. And so it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't compute necessarily for me with, like, and I'm pretty sure he was in a place of rest. He was obedient. He was operating from a place of complete surrender. And he was loving it. He was probably like, oh, come on, bring some more. Okay, no, not that big rock, but you can throw some pebbles at me. But I will keep preaching. And that's amazing. So it's something to keep in mind. Maybe operating from a place of rest is not dictated by your circumstances. If you are at peace and you are operating from a place of obedience and you have surrendered, that is a supernatural miracle right there. Because that means you're looking at your circumstances in a different way. I mean, I can in no way claim to understand what each of you might be going through. I mean, I'm not a mom. Moms probably have, you know, raging wars with some of their toddlers sometimes. And I can't tell them, listen, you must spend more time in the Word when, you know, three kids are screaming all day long. I don't know. But I do know this, and I'll give some examples from my own life just now, is that once again, if I repeat myself, this is good, because number one, if we are surrendered and operating in faith, number two, if we are working, operating from a place of obedience, we are operating from a place of rest, and I am willing to put 2 months' salary on it, that you will see how God will show you and will give you peace when you are surrendered, because that's usually the battle. Surrendering and saying, okay, God, I let go. I let go. That's the battle. Let's move on to the next portion. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would have not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a place of rest for the people of God. For he has entered his rest as himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Okay, so let's start with what I highlighted in red. You are operating, so wait. Top tip number three for operating from a place in rest. You will operate from a place of rest at a greater capacity than just the status quo when God commissions it. Okay, I will give an example of how I think this works a bit later. But let me say this again. You will operate from a place of rest at greater capacities when God commissions it. And this feeds back to surrender. This feeds back to obedience. You will operate in ways you have not seen before when God commissions it. Okay? That is why we have seasons. That is why, you know, that's why we have prophetic things that we move in and out of. Because God commissions certain things. That's why we have practical, situations. That's why Angus Buchan has campaigns sometimes and does not. There are things that God commissions. For if Joshua had given them the rest, he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now this is also something like, it took me a few hours to try and to understand what on earth was going on. And until I read up on kind of this passage, and this passage refers back to when Joshua, and I remembered Reno's sermon on this as well, Joshua had to take people over the Jordan, into a promised land. And in Deuteronomy 12 and in Joshua 1, there are references to where God tells them, listen, I want to take you into, and I'm paraphrasing, I want to take you into a country where you are free from disease, you are free from your enemies, and you are free from slavery. So that's a physical state of rest. You are physically free. Free to live. Free to operate. Free to do what I have called you to do. And then there was a second one. Where he says, he commissions a place of worship. I want you to bring sacrifices. I want you to worship me. I want you to honor me. I want you to enter into a relationship or pursue a relationship with me. So there's the physical rest, which they managed to do in that time. Joshua crossed over, took over, 2.5 million people, with only two of them surviving. By the way, okay, so this is something I need to throw in. People who entered into Canaan, the promised land, there were only two of 2.5 million that left Egypt. Caleb and Joshua, two of 2.5 million because of disobedience. And God said, you will not enter the promised land. You will not enter my rest. That's why I think the author's like, let us fear. And we're not under condemnation, but we have to, let us fear if some of us do not enter rest. Because you will not get to a place where you're operating from What you're operating in peace and you're doing what you're supposed to do or what God called you to do. So that's what this verses 8 to 10 refer to. God called them to a place of physical rest and also then a place for spiritual rest. But then we see through the ages how Israel have struggled with that. And that's where Jesus stepped in. God called us to spiritual rest. Even more so than physical rest. And this is the choice we face. When we operate from a place of surrender and faith, when we operate under obedience, and when we operate at greater capacities when God commissions it, we are operating from a place of spiritual rest. Once again, this is not necessarily circumstantial. But what is consistent is that we are obedient. We are operating in faith. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but this is something that I'm repeating for myself as well. Surrender, faith, obedience, and when God commissions it. Okay? Let me just see if I said everything I wrote down I wanted to say. That last bit, I just want to read from the Amplified Bible as well, the Amplified Translation. Because to me, it sort of gives context to what I think the author is also saying with regards to Joshua. Joshua 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak about another day of opportunity after that. So there remains a full and complete Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has also rested from the weariness and pain of his human labors. So for the one, us, all of us, who has once entered his, God's, rest has also rested from the weariness and pain of his human labors, just as God rested from those labors uniquely his own. And that last bit just says he was at peace with himself. When we enter into spiritual rest, we are at peace with God. And then we are aligned and set up to start doing what we are called to do. Let's move on to the next bit. Getting back to the framework in terms of, I believe, we are to enter rest as individuals, but also as a community. What I've touched on, all of us can do as individuals. Okay, and we often do at different times, different places. All of us are going through different circumstances. All of us are going through different situations. And all of us face different challenges. But we often forget, and I am just as guilty of this, is that I'm part of a community that is also called. We are of one body. We are 200 bits of a body. And if half the body is paralyzed, we are operating at less than half capacity. So it is important to operate out of surrender, faith, and obedience because that accesses spiritual rest. But what does that mean for a community? All of us can be in perfect rest. And Sunday services would still not happen. Because none of us might be doing anything. Sure, we're operating at work. We're operating, in our spiritual callings. We might be going to intercession. And I'm using Sunday service as an example. This is in no way correlated with the call to serve and the call to volunteers. We are not manipulating anybody, but I'm strongly encouraging you do that anyway. Because if us as a community are to heed God's calling to enter into a place of rest, we have to even out the load. And the best place, the best example I can think of is what happens on a Sunday. This is when we are together. What happens on a Wednesday? That is when we are together. What happens around that? When we are together. And if there are just three people running a service every single Sunday, they will start feeling like they are dragging a dead horse. You don't need a special calling to get involved. If we are to enter into a place of rest, we need to even out the load. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Even out the load. Does that mean I have to now put down my sticks, get involved with the projector? And then after that, I need to go get involved with the barista team. No. What it means is do what you find natural to do. We have some epic announcement people like Kiara and Michelle, beside note, and we've got Megan and Jason doing offering. And I'm just saying, it's like calling out the names that I know and remember. There are many other things that are happening on a weekly basis. You know, children's church is probably I get jealous every time they get to hop off to children's church, because I'm like, this must be so cool. Until I probably step in there and then I'm gonna be like, you know, you might hear me screaming louder than the kids. But the point I'm trying to make, actually, before I digress, is all of us have stuff we can do naturally. Blessing is a killer coffee maker. And some people love coffee. I know some of you are coffee addicts. So why not get involved? Learn how to make coffee. You know, it does not take an immense amount of training and effort to press a button at the right time for the words. If you're someone that remembers lyrics and that loves songs, you could be the guy and be like, oh yeah, you know, Lion and Lamb, okay, got you, you know? And the reality is that I the last time I checked, the projector team is kind of thin, right? If we had, and this is just purely an example, I'm not saying everybody must sign up for everything now, find what comes natural to you, but if we had 12 people in the projector team, and there are definitely more than 12 here, okay? Chances are you would be on duty only one Sunday every 3 months in the morning service. One Sunday. You need to come to church anyway. Why not get a little bit more involved? That is, you are coming to church, right? So this is what I'm meaning with even out the load. Get involved. And this is not, I can say whatever I need to say, because they can't fire me from the church. I don't work for the church. Even out the load. Get involved with what is natural to you. Sometimes it takes, and this is also, we don't operate from a place of rest by operating out of a place of laziness. Okay? And you would know if God has been convicting you to get involved with something specific. And once again, this is not me saying you must increase your involvement and then spread yourself too thin. That is not operating from a place of rest. You're going to start feeling like you're dragging a dead horse, because I'm running this and I'm running this and I'm involved here, and why am I feeling this and why is nobody helping me? No. Operating from a place of rest is also doing what comes natural. If you're running, if you're already feeling spread too thin, then focus more. But don't do less. Get involved with less things, but focus on what you know you absolutely love. And bring it to the church. Bring it to the community. That is what evening out the load means. And if we, and this, and I'm hammering on this, because if we are going to enter into God's rest as a community, we have to get this right. Why on earth would we be entering into a place of rest this year if we're buying a church building which needs renovation, which needs to be run? We're getting a new home. There's a lot of work. And immediately, that in the natural, it seems to be like, okay, so then we're not going to be resting. We're going to be working. But if we get everyone involved, not if we get everyone involved, if you listen to what God is telling you to get involved with. I mean, I'll get to that story now. If we start getting involved also in the sense that, you know, outside of times that we might be scheduled, washing the dishes quickly after a Sunday service, if the small group on duty is busy, you know, packing away other things, it doesn't cost too much. The reason I'm saying this is because when we serve together, that is when community is built. The times that my deepest relationships that I have built with friends have not necessarily been around socials. It's been around times when we were on missions together, when we were laughing at a bunch of jokes while, you know, washing dishes in the kitchen. Serving together creates like-mindedness. And this is where I get to our core value, being together. Being together month. We are focusing on being together. We are not just being together on a social level and on a way in which we eat together and kind of just come together and socialize together. We need to be together as of one mind. And that happens when we serve together. That happens when we're in the trenches together. We start seeing what other people think and how other people operate. And the average outcome is then one that we know we're heading in the right direction. That is how you're involved with the community. Okay, so I've said quite a lot. If you remember nothing else, just remember, even out the load, this builds community. Okay. So at the end there, we can move on to the next slide. So we have now gotten through Louis' top tips on operating from a place of rest, brought to you by Hebrews 4. So in summary, the following. God's rest is accessed by faith and by surrender. Operating from God's rest is actioned through obedience. Operate from God's rest at a greater capacity as He commissions it. In December, I had a roaring 2018. It was one of the best years of my life. Got to move to Cape Town, you know, changed jobs, got a cool job. We launched an album. I wasn't more involved at the corporate side of Shofar. We were touring with sort of the Behold album. I got a girlfriend, so I'm no longer single. I'd say amen to that. And I was quite, like, you can ask Ren and Liana, they would probably tell you I was never home because I was just out doing things at quite a great capacity. And I'm going to start from the bottom here, and that's my testimony about operate from God's rest at a greater capacity as He commissions it. I was playing here. I was playing for Shofar Band. We were touring every weekend I was away. I was playing for Mariette Loebscher, who's a Christian comedian. She does Afrikaans Christian comedy, and it's great. Enjoyed that. I went to India on missions. I changed jobs, so I had quite a lot of things I needed to do during the week as well. And at some point, when I hit December, I was like, I don't even feel tired. And when I look back, I mean, it was a crazy, crazy 6 months. It really was. And I was dumbfounded because I didn't feel like I should be I slept for like a weekend, and then I'm like, okay, what's the next thing we need to do? And I was genuinely wondering why this is, because it's not because I'm this cool person with a deep capacity. I mean, quite often I can complain really quite a lot. And I realized, and God reminded me of a word that was given to me in December of 2017, where someone told me, God is creating a year of momentum in your life. And that was a direct commission from God that I'm going to be operating at quite a high level, Because it literally was. I fly out the Friday to a different. We fly out the Saturday morning to a different country. Fly back the Sunday morning. I'm here at church. I often had an evening service to play as well. And then the week starts. Then it's full on, you know, the corporate mode. I work for an investments company, so we have to manage people's money. We have to make sure that all of that is working fine. And I knew that this is completely unnatural to be this busy. And at some point, at every point, I was like, at some point, I'm going to start burning out now. But it didn't, because there was a direct commission from God to operate at a greater capacity. If I had tried that without His commission, I would have probably been offended and left the church, simply because I was burnt out. Operating from God's rest is action through obedience. December 2018, I wrote off my car. Now, it sounds a lot worse than it really is, because actually someone just drove into my nose and then the engine kind of like... And the amount of times I just wanted to lose it, get angry, do things, God was like, sit down and focus. I was like, okay, fine. Let me feed into faith and surrender. God, I give you, and the accident was my fault. Technically, it was my fault. So immediately, I'm beating myself up. I'm like, this never happens. Why did this have to happen to me? And God was just surrender. And then I realized that the hire car I thought I'd put on my insurance policy was not there. So the potentially I would have had to Uber, you know, take 400 Rand a day, Uber to work and back. That's 2,000 Rand a week. That's 4,000 Rand every 2 weeks. And so I'm like, and God's like, phone your broker. I'm like, okay, God, listen, this is the problem. He's like, we'll sort you out. Within 2 days, policy amended after I crashed the car. Now, that never happens. So I'm like, God, thank you once again, because I messed up. I surrendered. And this was all my fault. I should have read through my policy and been like, listen, we agreed on this. Why is this not on? The broker was just like, it's okay, we'll fix it. And so I can take you through my whole December, which was circumstantially really bad, but I was still rested. Because I said, okay, fine, God. And it's not, and this didn't happen like automatically. It was quite a battle to be like, okay, fine, I'll leave it with you. I'm sorry, I'll just leave it. And then I'd get back and be like, okay, but what about this and this? And the God's like, just leave it with me. And every time everything just fell into place, I went and picked up my new car yesterday. 1,200 Ks on it, you know, everything's back the way it was. And that is as a result of surrender. These things would have happened anyway, but it could have really drained me by, you know, by the 27th of January. Then I'll be like, listen, I need another holiday. I'm over this. But I'm not. I'm excited for the year. I'm excited for my year to start in February. I tell everybody I'm leaving 2019 to start in February while I sort out 2018 problems. So once again, just to anchor this, operating from God's rest is accessed by faith and surrender. It comes from a place of obedience. We operate from it as He commissions. That's where we see revival start happening. That's where we see increased capacity. And then as a community, what does that mean? And it's not exclusive. The only thing I thought of and that I felt I should share was that we should even out the load. Because it is important as a community to enter into a place of rest. If I may, I'd like to ask Donovan just to come up and start playing. If you do feel like you are at a point of burnout, if you do feel like you are at a place of bitterness and you're just like, I am not at a place of rest. I'd like to ask you to come forward to the leaders afterwards. Matthew's here and Etienne is here, Megan and Johannes. Come and speak to them and ask them to pray for you. Because there is then a supernatural miracle waiting to happen to help you, where the Holy Spirit will help you to step into a place of God's rest. I'm just going to close in prayer. Thank you, Father, that you're a God that has only good plans for us, plans to prosper us and plans to give us peace. Thank you, Lord, that you will show us how to enter your peace and your rest as a community and as individuals.